A man was driving down the road, and there he saw a sign along the street, and it said, "Caution! Caution! Watch for children!" The man thought to himself, it's a curious sign. For after all, how dangerous can children be? Now, maybe there's not a danger from children themselves, but there is a danger for being childish. Now, I know I often have to rein in my own childish behavior. For example, sharing humor and jokes with you on a morning such as this. Believe it or not, as I go through different stories to share, I use a filter, recognizing that there are some I probably shouldn't share with you. Like right now in my mind, there are a couple really funny stories that I will not share with you. But there is a danger of being childish. More serious manifestations of childish behaviors are the type of action that is disappropriate for a slight that a person may experience. Also, childish behavior can be seen when a person doesn't exercise self-control in relationship to the emotion that is being experienced. And we know that childish behavior doesn't just exist with children. Jesus talks about those who are being childish. He says, there are those who won't attend the wedding. They will not dance because they are not happy on that particular day. He talks about those who won't attend the funeral. They will not mourn because they're not sad that day. What he's referring to is that childish type behavior we know as being contrary, of being adverse or the opposite. And whatever is offered, a person will find fault. Now, my latest experience with this type of contrary childish behavior, of course, is with my granddaughter, Taya, who will be 6 next month. But it's okay for her to be childish because, after all, she is a child. But so often in our interactions with one another, she will be the opposite. She will be the opposite. And so then, her childish behavior will then provoke my childish behavior in response. I will question her that she is happy to be with me. And she will say she's not. So I will say, you are. She will say, I'm not. I will say, you are. And that will go on and on and on. But Jesus speaks of this type of contrary behavior when it is applied to a response to the ministry of John the Baptist, for example. Jesus talks about how John came, neither eating nor drinking, as was his practice. And he was qualified as being mad. There was a madness about him. And then Jesus came. Jesus was eating and drinking. But he did so as a friend of the outsiders, of the marginalized people, and of the sinners. And so there was this rigid understanding that these people did not meet the standards of what it meant to be a prophet, no matter what they might do. So Jesus is exploring human nature of who we are. So often, when we do not want to make a response to a question, we will ignore it. If we do not want to be consistent in the face of criticism, we will shrug it off. If we do not want to listen to the truth, we will find fault and discredit it. And in order to overcome such attitudes and behaviors, Jesus speaks of wisdom. Wisdom that exists, even though we can be childish. Because though they criticized John the Baptist, he still moved hearts. And though they criticized Jesus, people yet recognized how Jesus offered new life, this idea of goodness to be promoted and shared with one another. But wisdom is not our discovery. For Jesus says it is God's gift to us. For this gift of God, this wisdom, reaches into our searching mind. This wisdom causes our eyes to see and our mind to understand. Prompts us in the right direction to take the right action in any given situation. Gives us sound judgment for what must be done and what must not be done. And so there is this clash with the human condition, with human biases and assumptions. For Jesus says there are those who assume privilege. There are those who pretend to know the will of God. There are those who pretend to be wise and intelligent. But wisdom is revealed to those who recognize that they are still infants, open to what is new, open and willing to be shaped, open to the kingdom that comes through Jesus, open to the Father as experienced in Jesus. One of the wonderful things about Jesus is he recognized human attempts and human efforts to please God. And the harm that that often causes. How human understanding of the teachings of his day would weigh down people with tremendous burden. The burden of endless rules and regulations to follow. And attempts to follow all of these rules would drive people to weariness and to despair. That is the yoke that was imposed by the law. Always giving of oneself. Always demanding of oneself. It never seemed to be enough. You know, there's an old saying, you know, always give 100%. Unless you're giving blood. An opportunity to share with you maybe just a childish story. But the invitation of Jesus is that my yoke is easy. More accurately, what Jesus is saying is my yoke is well fitting. It fits each and every individual. It is made to measure. That is the yoke that is placed upon us for each one of us in our own unique ways. And Jesus says that my burden is light because that burden is laid upon us with love, whatever that might be. And it is love that makes that burden lighter. How important it is for us to be open to Jesus in our lives. To be open. Be open to ideas and suggestions. There was a man who went into work one morning. He greeted his boss in the hallway. She said to him, "Well, have a nice day." So he went home. So we are to be open. Open as infants, Jesus says. And when we're open in that manner, watch out for us, the children of God. Because then we can be dangerous. Dangerous to hunger, dangerous to oppression. Dangerous to inequality. Dangerous to the abuse of power. Dangerous to injustice. We infants of Christ. Amen.